ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय कृतवान् किल कर्माणि सह रामेण केशवः अतिमर्त्यानि भगवान् गूढः कपटमानुषः. Translation: Lord Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, along with Balaram, played like a human being, and so masked, he performed many superhuman acts. Purport: The doctrines of anthropomorphism and zoomorphism are never applicable to Sri Krishna or the personality of Godhead. The theory that man becomes God by dint of penance and austerities is very much rampant nowadays, especially in India. Since Lord Rama, Lord Krishna, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were detected by the sages and saints to be the personality of Godhead as indicated in revealed scriptures, many unscrupulous men have created their own incarnations. This process of concocting an incarnation of God has become an ordinary business, especially in Bengal. Any popular personality with a few traits of mystic powers will display some feat of jugglery and easily become an incarnation of Godhead by popular vote. Lord Sri Krishna was not that type of incarnation. He was actually the personality of Godhead from the very beginning of his appearance. He appeared before his so-called mother as four-armed Vishnu. Then, at the request of the mother, he became like a human child and at once left her for another devotee at Gokul, where he was accepted as the son of Nanda Maharaja and Yashoda Mata. Similarly, Sri Baladeva, the counterpart of Lord Sri Krishna, was also considered a human child born of another wife of Sri Vasudeva. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that his birth and deeds are transcendental, and that anyone who is so fortunate as to know the transcendental nature of his birth and deeds will at once become liberated and eligible to return to the kingdom of God. So, knowledge of the transcendental nature of the birth and deeds of Lord Sri Krishna is sufficient for liberation. In the Bhagavatam, the transcendental nature of the Lord is described in 9 cantos, and in the 10th canto, his specific pastimes are taken up. All this becomes known as one's reading of this literature progresses. It is important to note here, however, that the Lord exhibited his divinity even from the lap of his mother, that his deeds are all superhuman. He lifted Govardhan Hill at the age of 7, and that all these acts definitely prove him to be actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yet, due to his mystic covering, he was always accepted as an ordinary human child by his so-called father and mother and other relatives. Whenever some Herculean task was performed by him, the father and mother took it otherwise, and they remained satisfied with unflinching filial love for their son, parental love. As such, the sages of Naimisharanya described him as apparently resembling a human being, but actually he is the supreme, almighty personality of Godhead. This is the first mention of Balaram in Srimad Bhagavatam. The full name is not given. Rama, well, that's also full name of Balaram. Ram in this context clearly means Balaram. although Rama may refer to Raghupati Raghava Raja Ram, and may refer to Parashuram, they're also known as Rama. But in this context, it clearly refers to Balaram. Some 12 years ago, or maybe more, I was present in London on Balaram Purnima when Purnachandra Prabhu, at that time, later he took sannyas, he gave an extensive class, deeply researched from Shastra, on Balaram. So I felt that this was very significant and should be shared with others. So I asked him to make a book of that. He wasn't prepared to. So I got that lecture transcribed. And taking that as a beginning point, I started work on a book on Balaram. I compiled much material for that. And then it went for editing. And it's like a ship that left the shore and was never seen again. Anyway, someday the book may manifest. Srila Prabhupada begins this purport by stating that the doctrines of anthropomorphism and zoomorphism are never applicable to Sri Krishna or the personality of Godhead. Just yesterday, I believe it was, I got an email from a god brother asking me, what does this mean? Anthropomorphism is the idea that God is made in the image of man. You may have heard from the Bible, Genesis, that God made man in the image of God. But various atheists, such as Sigmund Freud, have the notion that man imagined a god fashioned after the semblance of himself. God is a very powerful man somewhere up there. Zoomorphism, I'm not sure, I didn't look this up in a dictionary, but possibly this is a neologism or an invented word. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to use this. There's no such concept in the Western world, but in India we know of forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a fish, tortoise, pig, half man, half lion. So it may be presumed along the lines of the theory of anthropomorphism that zoomorphism is the idea that we imagine God to be present or to have the form of some ordinary animal that we see. However, as Srila Prabhupada points out here, this is not the case with Krishna. Krishna actually is the personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada seems to extend here the definition of anthropomorphism to the, as he notes, widespread phenomenon, especially in India, of ascribing godhood to an ordinary man, or maybe an extraordinary man, but still a man cannot be God. God, he may be godly, but not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is specifically for Krishna. Again, we're talking about Krishna. We're supposed to be talking about Balaram. Well, the two are inseparable, undoubtedly. But here in this verse, the subject is Keshava, which name may also apply to Balaram, but is particularly associated with Krishna. The various meanings of this name. One meaning is the killer of the Keshi demon. So that would refer specifically to Krishna. Another meaning is who has very beautiful hair. That can apply to Balaram also. Another meaning is the Lord of Brahma and Shiva. So that can apply to Balaram also. But here it's clear that by context, that this refers to Sri Krishna. And Saharamena, along with Balaram. So, Balaram is also Atimartyani Bhagavan. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who, by nature, by the very definition of Bhagavan, is Atimartya, beyond the platform of death, or superhuman. But there's no actual need to state Atimartyani Bhagavan, because Bhagavan is always Atimartya. He's always, by beyond the platform of death, means that he's beyond the platform of anything to do with this world. He's superhuman, supramundane, beyond the mundane. But it is stated here to emphasize the fact that the sages of Naimisharanya, they want to hear about Krishna because he is beyond the modes of material nature. They also aspire to such a situation, not the situation of being the personality of Godhead. Only fools and rascals aspire to the situation of being the personality of Godhead, but they aspire to the situation of being beyond the modes of material nature. So humans can aspire to that position, and they may attain that position, as Srila Prabhupada notes here in this purport, by the mercy of Krishna, by understanding his appearance and his activities to be transcendental, which may not be so very easy to understand. The very fact that he performs karma, karmani, activities, means that he seems to be like an ordinary human being. But here, in this verse, it is stated, gurha kapata manushaha. Even though he is beyond the modes of material nature, he's beyond the attachments of, he's not attached to anything in this world. He's not attached to doing anything. He's not subject to reactions to doing anything. Namam karmani limpanti name karma phale sprihaha. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, I'm not obliged to or attached to doing any form of work, nor do I aspire for the fruits of work. Nevertheless, Krishna appears in this world and appears to act as if he were a human being. But the word kapata is given here. Srila Prabhupada translates this in this context as apparently. This word is well known in many Indian languages up to the present day. Kapat means cheating, deceitful. Krishna, he deceives the atheists, and they think that he's an ordinary person. But actually, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Balaram also, although Balaram is given in a secondary role here, as an assistant, it seems. And actually, that is Balaram's role, and he's very happy in that role. And by his example, he teaches us this role. He is the personality of Godhead in the form of a servant of the personality of Godhead. Vaishnavism is monotheism, or is it? No, it's not polytheism, because polytheism means the idea that there are many gods. And yeah, pantheism is something else. It's seeing God everywhere in nature. Vaishnavism is monotheistic. There's only one personality of Godhead. Yes. In the Shastra, we find always the description of there is oneness. Eko satyam ditiya nasti. There is only one. There is no second. There are many such statements, which the Mayavadis take to be statements of undifferentiated monism. But rather it is a statement of the oneness of the Supreme. There's no dvitiya nasti, there's no second, means that there's no there's no one on the same platform as he. Mataparataram nanyat kinchirasti, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, there's nothing and no one equal to me or superior to me. But the conception of monotheism in Vaishnavism, which is the complete description of theistic reality, it is more subtle and developed than in the Abrahamic religions, which profess monotheism. It's, we could say, it's qualified monotheism. There's no, well, there's Ekeshvara Vada, we could say, the doctrine that there's one supreme controller. But, yeah, that is more subtle and developed, because that one supreme personality of Godhead appears in many forms. Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, Ekaleshva. He, Chaitanya Charitamrita, describes that there is one supreme controller, and that is Krishna. But Krishna expands himself into many forms, of whom the first form is Balaram, and from him the various Chaturvyuha developed, Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha. When we say develop, it's somewhat analogous to the sun and the sunshine, because the sunshine is always existing with the sun. Nevertheless, it comes from the sun. So all these forms of the Supreme Lord and the Jivas and everything else, they all come from Krishna. But in another sense, they eternally exist with Krishna. So Vaishnavism is, I can just invent that idea of qualified monotheism. There's qualified monism is the translation of Vishishtadvaita, the philosophy of Sri Ramanujacharya. So Balaram, we don't hear so much about him, as he's the supreme personality of Godhead also, but he keeps himself in a secondary position in service to Krishna. He's stated in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita that the only difference between Balaram and Krishna is that Krishna is Shyama, that blackish with a tint of blue color, and the bodily color of Balaram is white. Otherwise, there's no difference. But clearly, no difference and difference. Because clearly Balaram has a somewhat different personality. There's variety in oneness. It's oneness, but not just all the same, some sadhus, they, whatever food they get, they mix it all together before they take it. Whatever it is, sweet, sour, salty, pungent, all mixed together, liquid, solid, crispy. They, if it's crispy, then they'll make it into a powder and mix it all together. So they get oneness. They only get one flavor and one texture. And usually such sadhus, they take maximum one meal a day also, with the idea of nullifying the variety. It just becomes one. They won't have any or minimal sensual enjoyment in eating. But Vaishnava philosophy is to take separately or mix according to your taste. It means we'll take some chapati with some sabji, rice with dal, and shouldn't say all these things while we're fasting. Some torture for the devotees. The devotees, they see variety. Oneness, yes, one plate for one person. But there's variety also. So Krishna and Balaram, they are the same, but different also. Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan. He is Purna Bhagavan, the complete manifestation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of course, Bhagavan is never incomplete, but various forms of the Lord, they demonstrate in particular facets or features of the personality of Godhead. They don't all do everything. Krishna manifests all the opulences, all the characteristics of the personality of Godhead. Therefore, it's very difficult to define what is Krishna's character, because he appears, he acts differently in different circumstances. He's not exactly the same in all times, places, and circumstances. The four kinds of lover are described in the Nectar of Devotion. But Krishna is all four types. What is that? Dhira Shanta, Dhira Lalita, and others are given also. So he may behave differently with different lovers, and even with the same lover, you can never know. He's unpredictable. So Krishna is in this way complete. His beauty is especially manifested in the forms of Balaram and Vamana. So these are forms in which the beauty is particularly prominent. In relation to Balaram, we also find two qualities that are especially considered in relationship to Balaram, that he manifests as the personality of Godhead. One is strength. The very name Bala means strength. And the other is the service attitude. In the material sphere, these two do not or rarely coexist. Only in the personalities of very pious kings may they coexist. Because generally, if anyone has strength in this world, he uses it to make others his servant, to dominate others. The Ishvaroham Mahambhogi syndrome. I am the controller. I am the enjoyer. But Balaram shows that strength that comes from the personality of Godhead, that should be engaged in the service of the personality of Godhead. Balaram appears Saharamena Keshava, along with Keshava, along with Krishna. And it appears that Krishna is stronger. We always hear about Krishna killing demons. Of course, Balaram killed some demons also. In Vrindavan, he kills Dhenakasura. Outside Vrindavan, he kills Rukmi, and then there's Dvivarda, who is devotee turned into demon. So he also does his share of killing, but Krishna does more, because of course Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan. He's exhibiting, he's not that Krishna's not exhibiting strength. He demonstrates that fully. Balaram, also does. But it should be understood that Balaram's strength is not material. Here Srila Prabhupada in the purport describes Krishna lifted Govardhan as a young child of 7 years old. So he may say, well, what kind of muscles did he develop at the age of 7 that he could lift a hill? But it doesn't matter what muscles you develop, simply by muscles you can't lift a hill. Of course, Govardhan was brought to the place which is now known as Govardhan by one rishi. Whose name is that? Can anyone remember from Garga Sanghita? Anyone? No. So, was it Pulastya? I was thinking also. it wasn't that he flexed his muscles, did a few push-ups to get ready and picked it up. By mantra shakti, he can bring. By the power of his mystic power, he can bring. So Krishna, he's Yogeshwara, the master of all mystics. So he can lift a hill. We don't see that, although Balaram and Krishna are strong, we don't find that their bodily forms look very muscular, like Atlas or like some Greek or Renaissance sculpture of showing the male form replete with all big muscles. Once some artist painted Krishna looking very muscular, Srila Prabhupada said, no, it's not right. Then he brought Srila Prabhupada brought a picture from India, a traditional picture of child Krishna with very soft, like butter. And Srila Prabhupada said that this muscly representation, this is the concept of beauty, Prabhupada said, of the meat eaters. And showing the picture of Krishna, he said this soft, beautiful, but very powerful, but not sinewy. Srila Prabhupada said, this is the concept of beauty of the milk drinkers. So Krishna is very strong, but he's not this bursting muscles and all this, going to the gym and getting more and more muscles. Not this idea. Krishna, yeah, again we're talking about Krishna. If we have to talk about Balaram, we have to talk about Krishna. Who's the strongest? That question came up, didn't it? Who's the strongest, Krishna or Balaram? There was a dispute among some disciples of Srila Prabhupada. So they brought the matter to Prabhupada. Who's the strongest? This was in Vrindavan. And Prabhupada said, well, you see the Krishna Balaram temple. Balaram is leaning on Krishna. That means Krishna is stronger. Balaram is taking shelter of Krishna. Although, as I just posted out yesterday, we also find in the Nectar of Devotion that baby Krishna, when he was caught stealing butter in the house of Jatila, the arch enemy of Radha and Krishna's pastimes, or rather, taking that role. He was caught, so Krishna called out for Balaram, help me, because Balaram is the elder brother. So in that sense, he appears stronger because he's always giving shelter to Krishna, but we don't see him so much, keeping in the background. Generally in a family, the importance is given to the elder brother. Even if there are twins, we find in the case of Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, that even though there was only a short time between their births, being twins, because Hiranyakashipu was the eldest, then Hiranyaksha, he, even though he's a demon, but he acted as the, he followed the culture of respecting his elder brother, and on the order of his elder brother, he went out, to demoniacally conquer the universe. We also find in the case of Bhagavan Ramachandra and his three brothers, although they were born within a short time of each other, that Rama was respected by the others as being superior. So Balaram was born before Krishna, and so he was considered superior. But Krishna had a very independent nature, and he had performed all kinds of activities, and when he'd get in trouble, he would often take shelter of Balaram. So Balaram has all strengths. Srila Prabhupada pointed out in one lecture on this day of Balaram's appearance. Srila Prabhupada pointed out that when we speak of the strength of Balaram, it is not physical strength. Nayam atma balanenahina. Srila Prabhupada quoted from the Kathopanishad that the atma cannot be accessed or understood simply by strength. This means by material strength. And Srila Prabhupada, he referred to, without naming, although I'll name here now, the contention of one Swami, going by the name of Vivekananda, who said that we need physical strength. Why is India under the British? We need to get physically strong to resist. So he told them that better to play football and read Bhagavad Gita, then you'll build up some muscles. And he wrote that that some people say to be vegetarian, but I tell you, my boys, I am speaking with your best interests at heart. Eat meat, eat plenty of meat, and become strong. So his idea was that we should become physically strong. Of course, some physical strength is required for spiritual advancement also. Not directly required. One can become self-realized, or the self-realized, they don't require physical strength. But after all, this human body is repeatedly described in Shastra as being the medium for self-realization, the favored medium. It's not generally expected that living beings in forms other than human will have the inclination to, or even the possibility to, pursue self-realization. So the human form is required for that, but that presupposes that the human form should be healthy enough for that also. If one has the human form of life, but the body is always sickly and weak, and it's very difficult to concentrate the mind on spiritual activities for those in the neophyte stage. Therefore, we find in Gita, Lord Krishna advises, yukta ahara viharasya, yukta cheshtasya karmasu, yukta swapnava bodhasya, yoga bhavati dukaha. For the practice of yoga, by which one can come to the position beyond the distresses of this world, it is advisable to be moderate and regulated in one's eating, sleeping, various activities, and even in resting and relaxation. Not too much. Natashnatastu yogosi nachaikandama nashnataha. Najati swapna shilasyo jagrato naiva charjuna. One should, to be a yogi, one should neither eat too much nor eat too little. Nor sleep too much nor sleep too little. So this is bodily advice, because the human form, the human body is the medium for cultivating spiritual realization. Sri Madhvacharya, who was legendarily strong physically, being the reappearance of Hanuman and Bhima, he prescribed for his followers that they should all do physical exercise, with the idea that if the body is strong, the mind will be strong, and that will be helpful for cultivating spiritual realization, which is going on to the present day in the Madhva Sampradaya. But that physical strength, that clearly is not the essence. Balaram's strength is not something that any weightlifter or athlete can compete with. The strength is, anyway, he is the controller of the laws of nature. So even by wishing, he can lift a mountain. He doesn't even need to put his hand underneath it. But just by desiring, it can be lifted. But because Krishna and Balaram, they appeared, kapata manusha, apparently as human beings, therefore they, in their pastimes, they appeared to be ordinary humans. Otherwise, there's no fun in pastimes anyway. If one is so much superior to others, then it's very difficult to relate to them in a loving way. So, for the sake of pastimes, Krishna and Balaram became in many respects, or appeared to be, like ordinary human beings, although they are, of course, always the personality of Godhead. So, Balaram, he also gives physical strength. But when it is stated that, Nayamatma Balanena Hina, without strength, one cannot attain the personality of Godhead. But this does not mean that a physical strength will help one to attain the personality of Godhead. Otherwise, even a buffalo is stronger than a human being. So, the buffalo is, I don't think you have in this country, a dull animal, dull-headed, slow-moving. The noise it makes sounds very dull. So the spiritual strength, by spiritual strength, one is blessed with spiritual strength by Balaram. That spiritual strength is the strength to serve Krishna. The impersonalists, they desire to become spiritually strong with the idea that they will accumulate spiritual strength. And in this way, they will burst out of this material world and go beyond the conditions of the material world and leave the material world by the strength that they acquire by their austerities. And the strength they acquire by austerity and penance, and not exactly penance, by the words I was going to say, by austerity and knowledge and meditation. But actually, it's very difficult for them to acquire that strength. Klesho dikataras chesham avyakta sakta chetasam. For persons who are attached to the impersonal method of realization, it's a very troublesome process. Why is that? Because they're trying to get strength, spiritual strength, and then they utilize it to get they want to utilize it to attain a position in which they're liberated but not serving Krishna. So spiritual strength comes from Balaram, and he's not very eager to give that. He's also not very eager to give it for the sake of impersonal realization, because the impersonalists, they are ingrates. They don't want to give credit to Krishna and Balaram that he is giving the strength. A Vaishnava prays, Shakti Buddhihin. I am devoid of strength and intelligence. He prays to Guru and Krishna, who then infuses the devotee with spiritual strength. But for the Mayavadi, with great difficulty, acquiring little by little some strength, then they can burst out beyond the material nature. But what is their position? Yenye ravindaksha vimuktamaninas toyasta bhavad avishuddha buddhayaha aruhya kritrena parangpadang tataf patantyadho nadrita yushmadangraha. Persons who think themselves to be fully liberated are not, if they pursue this method of trying by their own effort, even though it's very great effort, taking much difficulty over many lifetimes, such persons may become liberated, but they fall down again from that situation because they neglect to worship the lotus feet of Krishna. So they get strength, incremental, little bit. And then they think, oh, now I'll use it myself to get free from Maya. But the devotee, he has a completely different attitude. He has the attitude of, I want to serve Krishna. And for that, mercy is showered on him. So the devotee very easily becomes free from birth and death and situated in the service of Krishna, from which there is no fall. Whereas the Mayavadis, they get some kind of partial liberation. But it seems like liberation, but it's not full liberation. So Balaram gives that spiritual strength, which we so much need, because we are very weak. By nature, we are very weak. Daivihi esha gunamahi mama maya duratyaya. Krishna says that this divine energy of mine, this maya shakti, illusory potency, is very difficult to overcome. We are little jivas. And Durga, very difficult to go from. She is much more powerful than us. Srishti, Stiti, Pralaya, Sadhana Shaktireka, Chayasya, Eva Bhuvanani Bibharati Durga. Durga, the illusory potency personified. She oversees the activities of creation, maintenance, and destruction of this material world. She is so powerful. How can we get free from her influence, being tiny jivas? But we can do so by strength, spiritual strength that comes from Balaram. That is the determination to remain in Krishna consciousness. Submission. By submitting, we get strength. By trying to become strong by our own effort, we remain weak. We may become strong in comparison to others, but we can't change our constitutional nature as a jiva. And the constitutional nature of a jiva is to be weak in comparison to the material energy and in comparison to the spiritual energy. He's subordinate energy. So strength means the strength to accept our position as subordinate. That is actual strength. The strength of trying to defy others, that is some bravado, but it's useless. We cannot defy Maya. Someone says, I don't believe in any God. I don't believe in life after death. When I die, I'll just die. It'll all be over. And he can say that. But after he dies, he'll find out differently. So it is foolishness to show false strength. But real strength, the repository of that, is Balaram. And we should pray to him for strength. Pray to Balaram for strength. How do we get that strength? What is it in a person with which Balaram reciprocates and gives strength? That is, if a person has faith in the process of Krishna consciousness and is very serious to follow the process, then Balaram gives the strength to practice in such a way that we can overcome Maya. Otherwise, that we can overcome Maya, or rather by His grace we can overcome Maya. That should be stressed. Especially in Kali Yuga. Not only in Kali Yuga, but especially in Kali Yuga. It's very, very difficult to be free from Maya, because that Maya is so grossly manifested all around us. It's not just that we have uncounted lifetimes of accumulating material desires, but the whole atmosphere is non-conducive for spiritual advancement. That is possible by the grace of Balaram. So especially on this day, we should pray for the mercy of Balaram so that we can be released from this material energy and given the opportunity to serve Krishna in the spiritual world. And Balaram is the acharya of this, of service. Wherever Krishna goes, Balaram goes. And he serves. He serves in all capacities, in Shantaras. He serves Krishna by manifesting the Sandhini potency, which from which the spiritual world exists. That means the land, the water, the trees, the sunshine, everything, the clouds. They all manifest via this potency of Balaram. And he takes the form of various objects for service of Krishna. Krishna's shoes. What a position to be the shoes of Krishna. His lotus feet always coming on them. So that is Balaram. Krishna's Brahmin thread. Krishna's bedstead. Krishna's umbrella. So in this way, all Krishna's paraphernalia, that is a manifestation of Balaram serving Krishna in Shantaras. Balaram, in his relationship with Krishna, is described as predominantly friendly relationship. They would go in the forest together, play their flutes together, perform various games, such as those that little boys play. But Balaram is also, apart from being friendly, they're joking and laughing, he's also in the mood of being a servant. He will, for instance, it's described in Nectar of Devotion, a verse is quoted in which it's said that when Krishna is very tired, wants to take a little rest during the heat of the day, that Balaram, he becomes a pillow. he holds Krishna's legs, and in this way becomes just like a pillow. So for Krishna, so who will do that except someone who is very strongly fixed in the attitude of being a servant? And Balaram also takes a protective position. So in this way, it's like the parental feeling. We often hear in India, maybe until recently, in Croatia also, that the in a large family, the eldest brother or eldest sister is sometimes considered just like a father or mother by the younger children. And actually there may be even a generation difference in their age. The first son may be 22 years older than the last son. Sometimes that happens. He's father's age, but actually they're brothers. Sometimes we find that the uncle or aunt of someone is younger than them because they are the children of much older siblings. So Balaram, he takes a parental role, not exactly parental, but in the form of guiding superior role. So just like that, that's, I just described that Krishna would run to Baladev for protection when Krishna was getting in trouble for stealing butter and yogurt. We also find that when Krishna, he kidnapped Rukmini, and Rukmi, the brother of Rukmini, eldest brother, came to chastise Krishna. Silly idea, but anyway, he thought he should do it. And Krishna, after fighting with Rukmi, didn't kill him, considering that he's, after all, about to be his brother-in-law. But anyway, he tied him up and gave him a prototype punk haircut with a little bit of hair sticking out here and there, a little bit not, and looked pretty weird. And Balaram came along, having defeated all the soldiers present there in Kundina, in Vidarbha, the capital of King Bhishma, also known as Bhishmaka. Bhishmak, the father of Rukmini. And Balaram came and saw, "Come on, Krishna, what are you doing? This is too much. You shouldn't treat him like this." So, because he wanted to, he considered also, Balaram considered that Rukmini, although she's happy to be kidnapped by Krishna, she's not happy to see her brother humiliated. So Krishna, to satisfy Rukmini, got on the case of Krishna, chastised him as an elder brother may chastise a younger brother. So in this way, Balaram serves Krishna by manifesting the whole spiritual world for his pastimes and by manifesting as his direct personal paraphernalia. In this way, he serves in the neutral way. He serves just like a servant by sometimes massaging Krishna's feet when Krishna is tired and resting. He serves Krishna in a friendly way by going out into the forest with him, and they'll be playing various games. He'll manifest as a superior by sometimes chastising Krishna, sometimes protecting Krishna. And also, according to a Gaurya Vaishnav booklet called Anangamanjari Samput, Balaram also takes the form of Anangamanjari, the younger sister of Radha, and in this way serves Krishna in the role of a gopi also. So, Balaram, he's all-around servant, Parisevana. One of my godbrothers was given this name by Srila Prabhupada. Parisevana means all-around servant. Krishna is expert. Balaram is expert in serving Krishna in all possible ways. Of course, in Ramalila he came as Lakshman. In Gaurlila he came as Nityananda Prabhu. In this way, Balaram gives strength, although he shows himself extraordinary strength. Yeah, of course, that example is given in the Dashavatara Stotram of Balaram pulling the Yamuna. Pulling Hastinapur toward the Yamuna. The example is given of breaking Yamuna into various streams because of her audacity in not obeying Balaram when he wanted her to come, because she thought he was drunk. One of Balaram's wives, one of them is called Varuni, which means the goddess of the liquor which emanates from a certain tree. So Balaram appeared to be drunk. He called the Yamuna. He wanted to take bath in the Yamuna. She didn't come because she thought he was drunk. And then he threatened to spoil her flow by dividing her into many, many branches or canals. Also he was prepared to throw the whole of Hastinapur. He dislodged it and he was ready to throw it, all the inhabitants in the Yamuna, but they applied for forgiveness for them doing so. So in this way, Balaram showed his strength, killed various demons, Dainakasura, Mushtika, Pralamba, various demons. We, while remembering these activities of Balaram, we also pray for his mercy that we may have the strength to prosecute devotional service. That strength is transmitted by Balaram and received in Guru Parampara. Actually, our path is very easy. We don't have to perform very difficult austerities, follow different difficult vows. We are given the path by our acharyas based on the chanting of the holy names, Haren Nama, Haren Nama, Haren Nama, Eva Kevalam, Kalo, Nasceva, 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 Gatir Anyata. So we're very fortunate in this regard. But we are so unfortunate and weak-minded and addicted to gross sinful activities. These are symptoms of Kali Yuga. That we should pray to Balaram to have the strength even to practice Krishna consciousness. Even though it's not difficult, but we find it difficult because of our attachment to that which is asat, that which is unreal, untrue, insubstantial, unwholesome. So we pray especially on this day to be infused with the strength of Balaram. What does that mean? To get the mercy of Balaram. If we're really serious, then we can pray like that. It requires great faith. Again, if we have faith, then we will get strength. If we don't have faith, then we won't have strength. That's why in preaching Krishna consciousness, who has got faith? Unless we have faith in Krishna consciousness, we won't feel inclined to speak about it or to spread it. then we remain on a very weak platform. So this movement can prosper by the grace of Balaram if the members of this movement all become very strong and convinced of the veracity of Krishna consciousness. Our movement in some ways has become very weak in some areas. So we should pray for the mercy of Balaram to counteract these weaknesses and these anomalies. Srila Prabhupada established Krishna Balaram in the central altar of his temple in Vrindavan, which is arguably this, of course, Vrindavan is definitely the center of the, it's the fulcrum, the highest point of the spiritual world, but the Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan is arguably, along with Mayapur, the spiritual focal point of the whole International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada established the Krishna and Balaram in the central altar. Although nowadays the devotees there, they mostly give more importance to Radha Shamasunda on the far right altar if we're standing in the Darshan Mandap. But actually Srila Prabhupada in this temple, he gave more importance to Krishna and Balaram. In the realized state, we will worship more Radha and Krishna. In the stage of sadhana, we require to take shelter of Krishna and Balaram, who have appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. Brajendra Nandanjay Shachi Shuta Hailoshe Balaram O Hailo Nitai Dino Hino Joto Chilo Hariname Udharilo Tar Shaki Jagai Madhai, who was previously known as the darling child of Nanda Maharaj, has now appeared as the son of Shachi Mata, and Balaram has become Nitai. So their specific task is that they lift up the fallen by the power of the holy name. The witnesses of this being Jagai and Madhai. The Srila Prabhupada, being infused with the strength of Balaram, was able to deliver many Jagais and Madhais. At that time, there was only one couple in Navadvip of such bad character. But nowadays, Jagai and Madhai, they would be considered very respectable, high-class people. To reform them, that is not a very easy task. That can be done by Balaram Nityananda. By his mercy, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saved Jagai and Madhai because Balaram Nityananda wanted to save them. So Srila Prabhupada, he was infused with the strength of the parampara, the strength coming from Balaram to save the people of this world. And he wants us to carry on that mission, which means we also have to become infused with the strength of Balaram. We have to pray for his mercy. And not just pray for his mercy, but of course, we have to do our bit also. It's not that we pray for mercy and then just lie around and do nothing. We have to be active in propagating and teaching Krishna consciousness. So on this day, Balaram's appearance day, we can remember Balaram, of course we should, must remember Balaram, and also pray for his mercy, that we as a movement and as individuals may become strong, spiritually strong, and then competent to defeat all bogus ideas in this world and establish the actual truth that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and everyone should surrender to Him. Another feature, I'm not sure if it's going on nowadays, but another feature of today's celebrations, when I was in the West many years ago, was preparing what they called varuni, means a drink with made from thick yogurt with lots of liquid honey and some other things also, by which devotees generally became intoxicated. So that was the standard practice, that we would, after fasting, have a tremendous feast in which large quantities of varuni drinking is the only time of the year you're allowed to get intoxicated. That's unofficial, don't quote me on that. And then take the devotees out in central London, take them out on Harinam Sankirtan. Otherwise, it's either collapse imitating Mahavishnu, or get out and do the work that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent Nityananda out to do. Shuno shuno Nityananda, shuno Haridas, savatra maragya karaho prakash, prati ghare ghare gya, kara ebikha. Bhaja Krishna bolo Krishna karo Krishna shikha. As the first guru, Balaram is the first guru, because Krishna is the Supreme Lord, and Balaram, he's telling everyone, see, Krishna, you have to surrender to Him. So the Guru Nityananda, on the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, went out with Haridas, door to door, telling everyone to worship Krishna, chant the name of Krishna, and learn about Krishna from authorized sources. So that was standard. Devastating feast with lots of varuni and then out on Harinam. That was the program in central London in the 1970s when I was there. And another time I was, that was in central London. Another time I was there in the for Balaram's appearance day in Bhaktivedanta Manas. So similarly devastating feast, and well, that is stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's kirtan when he got really tremendous tandava nritya. He's dancing like the dancing of Lord Shiva at the time of the destruction of the universe. So the devotees, I can still remember scenes from the kirtan that must have, was it 75 or 76? Or maybe it was one of those years. I think 75, I was probably in central London, 76 in Bhaktivedanta Manor, yeah. And by 77, I was in India. What kirtan? Just wild kirtan. So, but actually, the yogurt fast begins today. How did they do that? Maybe they had a special concession. Anyway, dance and chant while you can, while you have physical strength. Take prasadam, feast as long as you can, because generally, the body in Kali Yuga doesn't go on in its capacity until the last moment. It's a gradual fading away, the material body. That's the difference between the body of the Supreme Lord and our body. That the body of the Supreme Lord, on the very moment that Krishna passed away from this world, His body was beautiful, young looking, although He's the oldest of all. He wasn't only 125 or so years old. He was older than we can imagine. But always in full potency. Old age doesn't touch him. Balaram also. Balaram left this world after seeing the destruction of the Yadu dynasty at Pravas. Then Balaram manifested the form of Ananta Shesh and entered into that and left the world in this way. So Balaram and Krishna are always beyond the modes of material nature, beyond the power of our mind to understand. They're always strong. The strength of this body is always limited. But we should pray for the mental strength that despite the inevitable weakening and illness of this body, that we may have the determination to go on serving Krishna, spiritual strength. We can pray this day to Balaram. Hare Krishna. So now we can sing this Dashavatar Stotram. This, in the songs that we have in our Vaishnava songbook, there are two which specifically mention Balaram. One is the Dashavatar Stotram, in which Balaram is praised as the eighth avatar of Vishnu. And the other is in the Jai Radhe, Jai Krishna, Jai Vrindavan, in which he's also mentioned. So we can sing these songs.